Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 172, episode 2 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It is Wednesday, February 17th, 2021. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Where do dad jokes come with pale thighs? They don't go to Rogan or those crooked guys. It's TDZ with Jack O'Brien. Hear him with Miles on the Daily Zeitgeist. That is courtesy of Grand Rapidians Play Video Games at Grand _ Video. And I am thrilled to be joined once again by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Famous Bulls. Let the KFC inside you, Famous Bulls. Mashed potatoes. Crispy chicken, Famous Bulls. I like to shoot the coleslaw, Famous Bulls. Homestyle gravy, shredded cheeses, shredded cheeses.
Wow. Christy Yamaguchi, man. You know we're bailamos with Enrique in here. And then you make it to Famous Bulls. And the detail about me watching people sip the coleslaw juice from the parking lot, you did it all, my man. So thank you for that one.
I've still not recovered from that visual, as
of
they
what?
Call it.
Sipping the slaw?
Shooting the slaw. Just,
I mean, it's
slaw
juice. This is what it does. Because you get the big quart one, like the family size side at KFC, because that's the only way you're getting enough juice. That's what I've noticed.
Right.
People who sip, they get this one, and then they crack the lid just enough so the slaw doesn't get out, and let all the juice in, bro. It's a vibe.
A batch of dry slaw.
Do you, and I'm going to do me.
There's a whole bunch of families out there who think that KFC has dry slaw, and the truth is that whoever was picking up was just shooting it.
Sipping them, yep.
Well, Miles, we are thrilled, fortunate, lucky to be joined by the hilarious, the talented Blair Saki!
Oh, what's up, Daily Zeitgeist?
There you are.
God, it's so good to be back. It's like an exhale. And fellas, I gotta tell you, never have I been more hyped by an opening. Both of those, incredible. Absolutely knock my freaking socks off.
Wow. Thank you so much. You know, you're the Bruin that everybody should have been newing. And thank you for coming to the show. And it's nice to see you.
Yeah,
it's
you guys.
Great to see you guys.
Team UCLA, UCLA gang, Bruin gang.
Yep. I mean, yeah. Blair graduated a few years after me, as we found out.
Right.
Definitely not contemporaries, as I did some light number crunching. Blair is 19 years old. And I am 48.
It's so crazy that you seem to be a bit surprised to find out that I graduated in 2018. I know.
Yeah. Here I was, because you were making all the same generational references. I felt like we were talking about the same professors, but you know what? It's just, these people have just been there for a long time.
Yeah, I just studied up, you know?
How are your, you got the blue blockers on, the yellow, blue light, black, like I thought it was a bit, because I said, oh, you have Klasky Supo vibes and I'm loving it, but you're protecting your eyes.
Yeah, my eyes are tired. Kind of just goes with my whole general aura of being a sleepy girl. But yeah, I need some protection. So yeah, lots of people ruthlessly make fun of me, like my friend Rosebud, for wearing these. But, you know, here I am.
I mean, look, you're doing what you got. You're protecting yourself.
Yeah,
what's,
dog.
What's the problem?
Shout out to all the...
Rosebud's jealous, you know, because
your
eyes are going to be fucked so healthy and hers are going to be so strained.
Oh. Yeah, I know. She's really, really overcome with jealousy about my glasses.
That's what I say.
Well, she will be when she's blind.
Yeah. That's me being the supportive aunt slash mother.
It's their
jealous. Yeah. They're jealous.
This conversation is identical to the conversation I had last night with my wife. She wore her blue light blocking glasses to bed for the first time. And I was...
Orange?
They're not. They're actually like pretty see-through. I thought she was coming from the gun range because they kind of looked like those like clear see-through glasses that people are supposed to wear when they're...
Protective eyewear, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know the ones.
Wait, you wear them to bed, like to sleep with them on, or just saying like doing
no,
a little
just
light
like
browsing?
When she's doing a light browse.
Yep, yep.
Yeah.
Why can't they just put it into our screen so we don't have to wear glasses? You know what I'm saying?
There is an app that's like called Flux, I think, or there used to be. This was like years ago, and it just makes your whole screen look orange.
It's definitely Flux, because this is when Her Majesty worked at Cracked and came back. She's like, you don't have Flux on your thing. I'm like, what is going on? Like, everyone in my office uses Flux.
Team Flux.
You're fucking your eyes up. I'm like, okay, they're fucked already, but thank you.
All right, Blair, we are going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today, such as, Trump got acquitted again. The GOP showing everyone who they are, and the Democrats are, still being like, all right, guys, come on. What's going
on
here?
Now that you got it out of your system.
Use human emotions to shame them, and that doesn't work. We're going to talk about possible criminal lawsuits. There's not much on that as of yet, but, criminal lawsuits against Trump might have a future. We are going to talk about, there's a good mystery on the COVID front. Cases are suddenly dropping in India. So as I was looking into that, I also noticed that like when they say that cases were spiking in India before, it was like still under one person per 100,000. It was like so low. So then I started digging into like, why are cases, like why was all Asian countries and like Eastern countries so much better than the West at controlling COVID? So two COVID mysteries for us. And we'll talk about Texas, which is another example of just catastrophic global failure by a Western United States government to prepare for a slow motion disaster. All of that, plenty more. But first, Blair, we like to ask our guest. Oh, by the way, we will hopefully get to the Gorilla Glue Challenge and tell you why you probably shouldn't partake.
But, you know, I mean, look, if you think
if you're brave, maybe, but
you're a fucking G, you know, pull up to that solo cup.
But first, Blair, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
For once it wasn't something so damning. The top was just yellow velvet pillow. So just do with that what you will.
I will. You're decorating?
You know, My apartment keeps becoming progressively brighter and brighter everywhere. It's starting to look like fucking Lollipop Land. I don't know. I'm really trying to, like, I'm like, I need to create my own bright world inside these walls, right. You know? So yeah, that's what's going on.
You got yellow tinted glasses, so all velvet pillows are going to be a little yellow for you right now.
Save money. Just get white pillows. Put those glasses on. Cut the search down by a lot.
Whoa, this is why you have friends. Two geniuses.
No, I tried doing that and Her Majesty did not like when I was offering that as a solution for things. Oh, we'll just put on different colored glasses. Now it looks like how we want it. Yeah. Not the point. Okay, to you.
I will say a little bit of a silver lining lately is that it's no longer getting dark at like 5. And so I find myself going outside every once in a while. And the sky looks like a unicorn frap from
missed those.
Starbucks.
Yeah. Frap just came out of nowhere for me. I love it. Yeah.
Did you know you're supposed to freeze those when you buy them at the store?
Wait, really?
I saw some TikTok. You know how TikTok be like, "Oh, this is gonna fuck your whole head up," and right. I was like, "Yeah, do your worst." What? And it was those glass Frappuccino pre-made shits you buy at the store. Oh. Like you freeze them. Like just a little bit before it becomes full ice block.
A little bit.
And then you just spin it around and then you got a frap. And I was like, damn, I didn't even think about that.
They didn't tell us that. They didn't tell me that.
Yeah.
That's
anyway.
Cool as hell.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Just brightening your environment. That's like one thing. That's the next level up of like actually doing something. That I can't get to. My desk is a complete disaster of like old gum wrappers and
if these desks could talk, Jack. Yeah. You and both
that's
you and
okay.
Mine.
You're doing great. I mean, you're hosting this goddamn podcast for the entire nation every day. I think you're really showing up hard. Who cares about a wrapper on your desk?
Thank
a
you.
Little bitch wrapper.
The most color I have is a bottle of acetaminophen and some old Trident, yellow Trident. So,
oh, man.
That acetaminophen, which, by the way, I don't think I've ever pronounced fully, looked really gorgeous in that bottle.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It's a little blue and red. They had to up the game a little bit to evoke Tylenol with the Kirkland brand signature.
Wait, that's how you say it? What is it?
Acetaminophen?
I love Kirkland brand.
I thought it was Ace Tammy Nofen. All right, well, dude, I was taught to break it up into manageable chunks.
Okay, Ace well, Tammy Nope Hen.
I cannot even believe the amount the audience has been educated already in these first 5
yeah,
minutes.
Exactly.
Wild.
You're welcome, and that's a free education for this podcast.
The only reason I know that is a White Stripes song where he sings, "I see the medicine. You seen the medicine?" He rhymes. Yeah.
That's, some kind of genius.
I was like,
huh?
What the fuck is he saying? yeah, some kind of genius. What is something, Blair, that you think is underrated?
Okay, so Pringles are so fucking good. I cannot even believe like we as a nation are not talking about them every day. They're the perfect chip. And sure, they are, you know, almost entirely made up of chemicals, but they are the perfect chemicals. They are my chemicals. And the sack chips in that messless cylindrical container, heaven.
Right.
I'll put down 2 canisters on a writing deadline, no problem. Won't even know what happened. Blackout, put down another sour cream and onion, go back for a nacho cheese. Pringles are incredible.
Pringles. Damn. I thought you said Bugles.
No, no, sorry. Pringles.
Get
10
your head
out of 10.
In the game, Jack. Pringles.
Absolute
man.
Hit. Batting 1,000.
Oh, man. Pringles, I mean, there's something about it. Because you know it's a bunch of potatoes that they reformed into chip shape.
Right. With and like I'm some not... flour, I feel like. It's like a part pasta, part... I don't know. It's got. I feel like there's a pasta-ness about it where it breaks down like pasta does a little bit in your mouth.
Pasta's not the first word that comes to mind.
Definitely
but
not.
Do,
I was wrong to use that.
Pizza flavor. So I kind of get where you're going, you know?
But you know, like, do you feel like it's like part a floury thing? Like there's potato and flour mixture, or is that just me?
I don't know. I think they're so light and airy that my mind doesn't go to potato. Again, I feel like they're purely artificial, but in a way right. that works in just gorgeousness. And the thing is, like, people don't talk about them enough, but they're exquisite, timely, and you can all timeless, and you can always count on them.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, they are probably among the most consistent snack foods.
I still remember their commercial that had the Papa Ooh Mau Mau, Papa Pringles Pow. And like it was like on the beach. And then I remember the way they were shading normal chips was a dude was reaching in a bag of Lay's and he had like the just wild grease hand and got just turned his beach shirt translucent from all the grease from eating a bag of chips. And they said, greasy, not fun. And I was like, yo, okay. All right, Pringles.
I remember those. Those were genius. And it was like, once you pop, you just can't stop. Or is that a different commercial?
Well, I think it's once you pop, the fun don't stop.
Oh,
and
yes!
That's where greasy, not fun. I mean, look, maybe my brain was rotted by 90s marketing and that's right. all I know. But I do know that to be true.
But once you pop, you can't stop was also a era of Pringles marketing, right?
Of someone, I think another one, right? Wasn't it Corn Pops? No, Corn Pops, I gotta have my pops.
Oh, yeah. Wow, geez. You have incredible recall, Miles.
I mean, I think dude, because that used to have the Jaws theme song on the commercials. That used to fuck me up with Corn Pops.
Right.
Because it'd be da-dum. And I was like, oh, fuck, bro. What's going on? Are you selling cereal? Or is there? Because I had an irrational fear of sharks from Jaws. I would never sleep. I would never swim in a pool at night because I couldn't see the shit. So, you know.
Right.
I'm working through my own shit with my therapist. Right
I now. Remember when I went to Universal Studios and I took that tour ride and Jaws came out. I was like 7 or 8, was so shocked, full started crying. I was like, what the hell was that? Someone thought that was appropriate just to stop while the killer shark that's like 4 times the size of the person jumps out at me.
You started crying or the tour guide?
Me. Cry baby.
I'd be impressed if the tour guide fully broke into tears.
So shocked.
Every time.
Pringles did have a once you pop, you can't stop slogan in the 90s, which is right when junk food was becoming like engineered to be so addictive that we had a national obesity epidemic. So there's like some truth in advertising there where They kind of get at the addictiveness of their own products, but make it fun. A fun addiction.
Yeah, if I have one chip, I'm putting down 2 full tennis ball containers.
Yeah. Yeah, that I think is one of the most brilliant things about it is the container. You can't make sense
of what you're eating.
Yeah, and it's also so consistent. It's always that just straight up and down stack of chips.
So cleanly, too. And you don't have to worry about them getting smashed in your backpack on the way to the beach.
Right.
Yeah!
Pringles are the one chip that I feel like it's appropriate to eat at the beach. It's like the snack food of the beach for no reason other than they did that a lot in their commercials.
Yeah. I think it, but for whatever reason, I think because there's a lid, you're like, ha, take that sand versus like folding over the top of a bag.
There's also
you can just crush chips so easily accidentally. They're so delicate.
The Pringles holler at us, just drop the bag off at Blair's house. You know what time it is.
Or the cylindrical can. Whichever. Yeah, we'll take our money in that.
She's busting more cans than fucking Shredder and Ninja Turtles.
Also, Brad Pitt, probably the first time you saw Brad Pitt was in a Pringles ad. He was in a very early Pringles ad at the beach crushing some Pringles.
Really?
FYI.
I love Brad Pitt.
Damn.
Yeah. What is something you think is overrated, Blair?
Wait. Oh, yeah. I didn't do that one. Okay. I want to say, what is overrated, Jack and Miles? Okay, yeah. It's the word normalize. Oh, God. It's right up there with adulting now, folks. Makes my skin crawl. When I hear the word normalize, I just want to stop the day right there and go back to bed. Normalize? Right. Nope. I'm done. Good night. See you tomorrow. I hope to begin a new day then.
Yeah. Super normalization, man.
What are the headlines you read that are overusing it?
Just, you know, the internet is unmatched capacity to make you hate stuff. I expend a lot of energy, like, trying not to be poisoned by that. It's cancer of, like, making you knee-jerk hate stuff. But when you just, like, mindlessly absorb it over and over, everyone's like, normalize, and I'm like, I can't read this fucking word one more time. If you're putting it in your tweets, it's garbage.
So yeah, that's why you didn't like my tweet. Don't normalize white supremacy.
Wow. Oh, I didn't see that one.
Oh, okay. No, I'm just making sure.
We just never had a live subtweet on that.
I just want to do a A and B column real quick. No, I'm fucking with you.
Okay. I was just gonna say, I was like, if I saw that tweet, definitely would have went with something else. Would have made another choice.
I think, yeah, just normalize just means like, is whack. Don't make this thing, acknowledge that this is bullshit.
Right.
Rather than saying, like, don't normalize it, just say, we all know this is horseshit. And we need to be arms locked together in acknowledging this, whatever topic industry is, horseshit.
Yeah, it's just, you know how some, like, internet words get you. When I hear adulting, like, my body really feels
turns to a child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get one of those hats with the little propeller top on top. It just grows out of your head. I'm a kid.
I'm never getting invited back on this podcast.
Oh, you're coming back no matter what. Yeah. The one thing I hear a lot, though, is like what my one friend said he hates lean into.
Oh,
or lean
yeah.
in. That's the other one. Like, that was the equivalent of him being like, you know what I hear? It's too damn much on there. Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah.
Leaning in. But sometimes I don't know how else to do it. Like, if you're talking about a bit, you got to lean into a bit. I don't know any other way to make that expression. I guess overindulged.
Yeah.
It's too wordy. Too many syllables.
Steer into the spin. That's another version of that.
Yeah, that's you lost
I just thought
me. Extra
of,
aviation. extra old white guy.
I just thought of a little addendum also. Also overrated, loud cars and motorcycles. That's mostly what I spend my time on the internet campaigning against. These very troubled men pay to make their cars loud and then, you know, just make a whole show careening down the street. And right. I really, really don't like them. And I think they have little baby dongs.
there's tension in my neighborhood with a loud exhaust at the moment. They have a remote start car and the pipes on here. When I say these pipes are louder than at Wiz Khalifa's house, because these shits, they freak the fuck out of me. Cause out of nowhere, it's like, and I'm like, oh fuck. But you know, I get it. Like, you know, people want to have their gearhead life, but at a certain point I'm like, isn't there can't you put like a manner mode on where you're like, let me start this, like keep it low key till I get out of my neighborhood where there might be sleeping people or babies and then turn it up or whatever. But it is what it is.
I hate being like an old man, like a 90-year-old man about it, but I guess I don't know. I am one of the, unfortunately, a highly sensitive person. It really gets in my nervous system really nice.
Is it traffic like by your place that gets you, or just whenever you're, is it just because, or you, for you, you're all about tranquility, turn everything yellow, put the yellow sunglasses on,
no,
the vibes are yellow.
You know what it is I spend like an hour or two walking outside a day just for my health in the pandemic being inside. Mm-hmm. And it'll always be like right at the moment I'm on the phone with my grandma or something. and then like literally the whole call gets just blacked out by some fucking asshole who's I gotta make up for the pain inside me.
You know? Yeah. I wonder if he's also trying to catch your attention, you know, being like, check me out.
I guess that's never
have
crossed.
A loud car.
That's never crossed my mind. I wear a giant mom visor for sun protection.
Nice. Also, you and my wife should hang out. She's doing the same thing. Hang out and talk about sun protection.
Yep. And then waving her fist angrily at loud cars that pass by.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, you know, I don't even do that. I don't react at all. I just silently
die a little bit.
Yeah.
Once I heard that I forget which muscle car it was, but one of them, maybe all the like Mustang and Charger and all those cars. When I heard that they had like basically a little speaker in their muffler that was like creating the roar noise, it totally made me look at that like, it's just synthetic at this point, because you just don't need, like, the cars are sophisticated enough that they don't need to do that anymore. But they are like still just to like give whatever that urge is a place to play. They're creating, they're like playing a sound of an old motor, essentially.
Well, yeah, but then it'll play it into your speakers in the car, though, too. To give you the sense that your car is that loud outwardly.
Yeah.
It's just, okay.
I am absolutely sickened.
Yeah, but these I get it. You know, like at a certain point, it's like, I remember, you know, as a kid, I'd ride a bike. You could hear a car behind you or something.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, totally.
And I think as it gets quieter, because now in the advent of like hybrids and stuff, and I ride my bike a lot more now, like hybrids sneak up on me pretty easily. But not to the point where it's ever unsafe. But I'm always like, oh, there's a difference sonically in the environment where, like, I used to hear an old ass car. But
yeah, it's more of it's like a high pitched whine of like whatever's cooling the computer off is like the thing.
It's never like a slow start, though. It's always violent. Like they are slam it on real hard. Like everyone look at me while I make you mad, and you know.
Yeah, or people on like motorcycles. I get sometimes on motorcycles, like they'll rev to like get people's attention, because sometimes people are like, but then there are other people who are just like, especially when you're in an overpass, which is a concrete sound chamber, and someone's like, I'm going to turn it up in here. And you're like, please don't. You're going to fuck everything up. And it's like, just too much, too much.
Yeah. That is the thing that Harleys, I guess, are one of the safest motorcycles because they're so loud. And one of the big problems with motorcycles on the road is like drivers of cars just like don't register them because they're not like looking for that sized vehicle, and our brains are stupid computers that are like programmed for very few things, and so people that's like,
so we need those speakers actually, you know,
yeah, hit them.
Okay, I'll admit I've never heard that before, and I just crossed the aisle to the other to understand a little bit more about my foes and
my foes,
my nemesis, my enemies, and now I know a little bit more about their motorcycle culture, trying to keep themselves safe. The truck's still no excuse, but thank you but like, for educating me a bit.
Exactly. If you got a 2002 ACT Legend, or you know, or a 92 ACT Legend with the wild ass, come on now. We understand. We understand what you're trying to do, but it's okay. Nobody's judging you on how loud you can yell for your parents to come back.
Yeah, I was just thinking of like things they could add to the, like in addition to the motor hum, like something like an approving, like,
you're doing great, kid!
From your dad.
Fucking proud of you, man!
I actually am proud of you!
I really did go to get cigarettes, and things just kind of got complicated on the way there. I will return.
All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Zeit gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, you know, how to bustling retail business and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And, of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season three of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
And we're back. And yeah, another impeachment, another acquittal, you know.
Oh, well, well.
Vindication. Thank you. He was right all along, right?
Yep, exactly. Vindicated.
So 43 GOP senators voted to acquit Trump over the weekend, which nobody was surprised by. But the fact that Democrats are still treating the Republicans the way they did, like in the 80s and 90s.
Fucking 1880s or some shit.
Yeah. Well, in the 1880s, I feel like they used to like beat each other on the floor of the of Congress. I feel like they could bring that back maybe. But yeah, it's just a mess in there.
Yeah. And I think that's what's really tough, right? Is because from, you know, the second we were fully in the Trump era, we were like, oh, yeah, this isn't
This is another thing. This is like the Borg has taken, like white supremacy Borg has taken over. And it's like, there doesn't be any rhyme or reason to it. It's like, we're just going to get in the way or try and dismantle anything that was, it will create any kind of forward movement or progress. And yeah, like the Democrats really been like, hey, it's such a shame, you know, what these people, like it's really unsettling that mm-hmm. they'll do this. It's like, but you knew what was going on. This has been the case, and they still want to do this thing of like, well, they weren't always like this. It's like, yes, they were, but you're just at a level where the discourse has come to a point where there is no thing to hide for the, hide behind for the Republicans. They used to be like, it's not about racism, it's about this thing. It's not about limiting the rights of LGBTQ people. It's about this thing. Now it's just fully like, fuck you, I don't care, he's guilty, but we're not going to do shit because that's the side we're on, and you must be out your fucking head if you think we're going to vote against that. Come the fuck on, is what they just said over the weekend. And so now I'm like, please, Democrats, people have been begging for over a decade now to just destroy the filibuster at this point. But now you really, there's no reason at all to engage these people like they have any kind of good, they're any sort of good faith actor about anything they say. They're not. They're spending all their time right now in state legislatures trying to, you know, like examine the genitals of female athletes because they're suspicious of like trans kids competing or trying to change the laws around Jesus voting. Christ. It's a full court press of fuckery, like outside of DC. And if you're not going to acknowledge that and be like, okay, well now we need to go from 1990 Barry Bonds to 2006 Barry Bonds, where my head is gigantic because I see the game is changing.
Right.
That's what we need. Cause the game is different, and they're still trying to be like, well, maybe we can beat them fair. They're not fighting fair. So how are you going to beat them fair? And it's not to say that ending the filibuster is unfair. It's just this really fucking outdated procedural mechanism that acts as a kill switch for any kind of policy the minority, which is always the Republicans in this case, or even when they're in the majority, but they will always use that as a kill switch for any kind of progress. Because what that means is by using the filibuster, that means it will take 60 votes to advance any legislation to the president's desk rather than a simple majority, which is what most people think. It's like, oh, the Democrats have a majority, or there's like Kamala Harris can be the tie-breaking vote. Now all this other stuff can happen. But with the filibuster there, that allows them to keep debate open for fucking ever. And there's a lot of things too where like Mitch McConnell, he's like, well, we can't get rid of the filibuster. It's good for bipartisan. It's not good for it's that's bullshit. That's just there to pretend that it's there for bipartisanship. The reason he doesn't use it, or like the times where he will eliminate the filibuster, is when he has to get Supreme Court nominees confirmed. Right. That's when he'll be like, nope, just a majority now. Just a majority. Yeah. We're not allowing that now because I got to get this goon through. Or like the other thing is they have a loophole too where they don't need, like there's no threat of the filibuster when it comes to certain things like tax bills or spending, because they can do that under budget reconciliation, which is another process that just requires 50 votes. So it's like a loophole where they'll say we need them. It or whatever, but they're always getting away with shit. And the shit that they use it for, civil rights, filibustered the fuck out. Gun control, filibustered the fuck out. The Dream Act in 2010, when that shit could have gone through, filibustered. So this is like what, you know, we're saying that they have all these ways to undermine progress, and we're still putting those tools on the table for them, acting as if they're going to be like, okay, well, come on, you do think forgiving student debt or student loan debt is going to be good, right? Well, I guess not if you can't get 60 of us. You know what I mean? Right. Like, that's where it gets so fucking messy. And you just want to be like, okay, come on, Democrats.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Is it pop? Like, who is in favor of ending the filibuster? I feel like I've seen a lot of people who aren't Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer like come out in favor of it. But like, where are we?
You'll see like John Tester or like Kristen Sinema. These like, you know, these fucking noodle spined Democrat senators who are like, well, you don't know because if we do that, then it just ensures minority rule.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like there's nothing sacred about it. Like it's been altered, taken away many times throughout the course of the history of this nation. So
It's just this idea, like, because there's also this fear of, like, well, then what happens if the Republicans are in control? We've seen what the fuck happens. You're worried about the filibuster? They'll do whatever the fuck they have to. But then you're going to then suddenly put the brakes on your ability to start put meaningful legislation forward because of this, like, fucking specter you've raised in the back of your mind that's just actual horseshit? Like, I'm just starting to see, I'm failing to see what the risks are. In terms of how the GOP operates and how the Democrats are choosing to counter that.
Right.
Because we're not going to get Medicare for all or a Green New Deal with that. You think Mitch McConnell's going to fucking roll with that? No. Or it's a version. That's the other thing, too, is you can tell where the Democrats are, too, because if they don't care, then they'll be like, OK, well, fine. That's why we have to work with them on this thing.
Yeah, exactly.
But you don't. And you should not. They don't fucking deserve any kind of oxygen to be heard.
That's what there's like a thing that I thought was overly cynical when people were saying, like, the Democrats don't actually want to win power because then they have to, you know, enact a bunch of legislation that, you know, progressives want that they don't actually want. And it's like, this feels like the acid test for that. Like, is this... Are you going to kill the filibuster and, like, allow yourself to enact legislation? Because they have openly, like, they're not playing by any manner of rules anymore. And so, it's just very frustrating.
It's I just don't get what their calculus is, too, because they're also, like, Democrats and Republicans, like, the single issue voter shit fucks up platforms and policies so much. Because rather than looking at, like, what the majorities want in this, like, the majority of the country is like, convict this dude. The majority of the country is like, he should be barred from holding office ever again. The majority of people are like, Trump should never fucking be near office in any kind ever. And even a majority of, like, Republicans are, what are they doing?
Right. Yet
they are still focused on what the fuck their colleagues are saying. These other fucking goblins that they work with thinking that's what America is. But just look, most Americans saw what the fuck went down and they're like, that's so nothing's happening. What the fuck? The clock is ticking. Like, you're going to fucking deliver meaningful stimulus and aid to people in need in by the time the midterms come around with. By allowing Mitch McConnell and them to muddy up everything? Really?
Right. I mean, they know America at its core, like, at the DNA level, is a nation ruled by a wealthy, like, tiny minority. And, like, so I feel like they're kind of all in on that. They realize, like, well, you can't actually, even though the Democrats come out and say we're on the side of, you know, popular opinion, they don't actually do the things that require them to.
I was wondering, is there another lawsuit that could, because he has a bunch of other ones, like, that could bar him from holding office again, or is this the last kind of hope for that?
I don't know, actually. I don't know, like, what all the legal mechanisms are aside from this, but I mean, there is the grumblings and mumblings are growing in terms of, well, if clearly the, like, that was so stupid to have his best friends be the jury, slash hostages, active hostages, political hostages in the Senate, who are many of whom have said, yeah, the base is kind of wild right now, so I don't really want to, like, cross them. So I'm just going to keep my head down. You know, like, what happens there? And I think, yeah, there's talk about the Attorney General of D.C. and other AGs possibly bringing criminal lawsuits for incitement against Trump.
Yeah, and that's what I was wondering.
I mean, yeah, and I think that's the thing that everyone's talking about now. I mean, Nancy Pelosi said, look, there's going to be a 9/11 style commission to get to the bottom of this. OK, that might reveal some things. But a lot of people are also saying, like, it's a shame what happened in the fucking impeachment, quote unquote, trial, because, like, Jamie Raskin did. Like, all of the impeachment managers did a really good job of just making it so clear. Like, this is what he'd been saying. This is what the people were saying. This is what the people said. They were taking his words to mean after they committed crimes. Do you see where we're going with this? And a lot of people were like, you know, it's actually, he played out a substantial case
for like actual incitement charges in terms of a criminal case. But I think there will be a lot of debate over Trump's First Amendment rights. Like, what was protected speech? What did he say? It's going to be very, it's the incitement part that is really difficult to like sort of prove. But a lot of people are like, it seems like he's dealing with more examples of unprotected speech than protected speech when we're talking about like the evidence that was being used to sort of make this case. Because being like, yeah, we're going to go over to the Capitol and like show him, huh? Like, that's like, yeah, what are you going to, what is that? What is that? What else is that supposed to mean?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of, it's still very new. I think right now, I think Americans need to get on board with the idea that Republicans are absolutely fucking gone. Like, most people were like, these people, like, I think if you listen to this show, we've been saying this for a while, but if anyone still is like, well, you know, they might just, no.
Yeah,
they looked at it. They looked this case dead in its eye. And in some cases, they actually avoided looking at it at all because it was so clear.
Turned their back on the video and started
like cutting
doodling.
Their toenails and shit.
Right.
That they could look at that and still say, you know what? Maybe he was guilty, but that's what they're saying is when it comes to this kind of shit, you can be guilty, but we still won't hold you accountable because we need that.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to COVID news, which is positive, but there's like a silver lining of shit that I'd like to talk about. So India, we're seeing cases, as we talked about last week, drop across the around the world. And people aren't quite sure why they're dropping because like there's no single explanation that would make sense. There's not enough people who are vaccinated yet. Antibody testing, for instance, India is seeing one of the biggest drops, suggest only 1 in 5 people in India had the virus. So herd immunity on its own doesn't explain it. They're in general better at masking than the United States, but the drop is uniform across locations, even locations with poor mask adoption. So as I was reading up on this, and I think, you know, the question is open, and I think it's probably a combination of all these different things combining to draw the rate of transmission down. But as I was going through this AP article on the drop, I realized that like India is still, even at the high point where they were measuring from, it was still like below one person per 100,000. And I started just kind of like digging through, and it's like China, same. Japan, same. And this is like just over the past few weeks. But Japan, South Korea, their numbers per 100,000 are orders of magnitude away from what you're seeing in the United States, UK, Germany, Italy, Spain, South and Central American countries. And, you know, this has been like the Wall Street Journal wrote about this back in October, about like how this trend is, you know, happening. But I feel like we don't see it brought forward as like like the Asian societies that they looked at in the Wall Street Journal, like they interviewed people and they were like, oh yeah, like we're looking at you guys like a cautionary tale. And every time there's like a slight uptick, we all mask up because what's happening in your countries is a disaster. But I feel like the other side of that, it's not being treated as like a, this is what you could have like sort of thing. It's just like even the degree to which like people are like, there's the anti-Asian racism that we're seeing like attacks on elderly Asian Americans. And like, these are nations that, and like that people suspect that that's associated with the pandemic. And like the story, not that there should ever be like any sort of attacks on anyone, but like the story should be that those countries are like dramatically kicking our ass in terms of like how they approach the virus, how they controlled the virus, how they continue to control the virus. It's just kind of a story that I feel like should be the main story and is getting underplayed because I think a lot of it is cultural stuff, like, you know, people valuing the well-being of other people in other countries, as opposed to in the United States, where like the first or the biggest new social media trend is anti-mask groups, like people fighting for the right to not wear masks.
Yeah. And I think maybe even like the way it's reported is like, they don't want Americans to catch wind of how much better people are treated in other countries too.
Exactly.
Because you do that, you're like, well, let's also talk about like wage subsidies for places like Korea or Japan.
Right.
And how they immediately said, oh, well, we're going to have to take care of people's rents, because if they got to stay inside, then they can't have the crush of trying to go out to make money. Then we can give them food, whatever. Like, that was like the beginnings of thinking about how to create relief. And yeah, I think that to me was like one of the few things I barely see reported about comparing what life has been like existing in the United States as a person who may have lost their job versus these other countries, because that would piss you the fuck off and you'd be like, what is going on? But that is, I think that's another really underreported side of things. It's more like, huh, what's going on over there? Rather than, we might have a problem with toxic individualism that's literally killing the country. These countries for centuries, for eons, have been on a philosophical plane about taking care of each other or duty to the community and things like that, that are playing out as we see in this way too. Because I talk to my Japanese relatives and it's there's so many things like that we'll compare and contrast how it's head scratching. Some things are like, you wouldn't wear a mask? Like, people, why wouldn't people wear a mask? I'm like, yeah, I don't know how to explain that to you.
Yeah, it's very difficult to explain. And people, like, what the last time I complimented or said Japan was doing better than the United States, people were like, it's actually not that great. And there are definitely like ups and downs in other countries, just like the United States has had. It's just that their ups and downs are so much smaller than ours. Like, the max of the India spike that they were talking about was like 40,000 or 400,000 people, which, you know, is a nation of, it's like three times the population of the United States. So it's like, it's just nothing compared to what we're seeing in the United States. And I feel like the order of magnitude of the problem that we've had with this comparatively is just kind of being ignored by the media, because I think people don't want to acknowledge it. For the sake of capitalism.
The idea of wearing a mask as any loss of freedom, like, that's not even saying anything about what you can do or where you can go, anything like that. It's like the smallest thing. And when I see these people, like, where they're making that their, like, their movement, anti-mask, I mean, it's such a micro issue in the whole thing of freedoms. To me,
what's funny, the thing is, you could never try and explain to that person, like, wouldn't you say that your outsized response to this is indicative of a lifetime of always being unhindered and always doing whatever the fuck you wanted to? Like, relative to that, is that what you think you're maybe pushing back? They're like, what the fuck are you talking about? You know what I mean? It's hard. You can't get someone to see that. But for so long, I mean, so many of the gripes or the consistent thing is just about, like, you're not going to control me or make me think that this, rather than like, okay, more than that, do you give a fuck about other people?
I was just going to say, on a basic level of manners, regardless of if you even fucking believe in science, the idea of ever thinking that me not wearing a mask could harm someone else, regardless if I cared about health or self-harm, like, if there's a possibility, science, that I could do that, I'm wearing a mask.
Yeah. I think I wonder too if it, because, right, I'm trying to put myself in that position, because if I did that, then for me to consider that, I would have to then extrapolate situations in which I might harm another person, which then might trigger thoughts about mortality, which I'm not ready to engage in at all, or there's something deeply uncomfortable about having to think about something like that. So it's easier to just be nope, kill switch, engage, fuck a mask, freedom, blah, 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 blah. Cause it's actually this other shit. Again, those, what they call thought killing, cliches, basically.
I guess that's wild to think about it like that, as like denying on a.
But think about how people's minds work. You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, we have friends.
Like, we all have friends who will somehow, they will completely avoid a specific topic of conversation, no matter what. You're like, oh, okay. Yeah. I don't need to know, but clearly that's not something you're ready to talk about. And even though it's not a hot button issue, that's what it is. And I think for some, it's like that sort of same thing, like this idea of mortality or that responsibility to others is like real. For whatever reason, is frying a bunch of people's circuits, and they're just resorting to like, nope, don't want to engage that. Don't even want to have a real discussion about that because it makes me so uncomfortable to even think about that I'm just going to resort to this like personal freedom argument that has no like intellectual weight to it.
I think people have applied it a whole, like used it as the placement for their anger. I made it that for another enemy, you know, for me, I'm like, oh, you'll hold a door for someone, but you won't wear a mask. You know what I mean? It's like literally
it's just polite.
It's all just it boils down to manners for me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
No, it is. I mean, it's a broad cultural like values problem. It's not that the people in the United States are inherently born more selfish. It's that the value set in the United States has trained them to think this way. I mean, this Brown University School of Public Health dean said, in the US and Europe, we wanted to get our lives back, so we acted as if the virus was under control. In Asia, they were not in denial. They understood they can have their lives back if they follow certain precautions. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a very straightforward way of looking at it. Another issue that there is in this Wall Street Journal article is that a lot of the spread in Western Europe has been linked to young people. And that, I think, gets at something that's probably at the core as well as like that makes Western countries and communities worse at dealing with this, is the fact that other like Eastern countries actually value their elders and are... more like, whereas in the West, it's like
the antithesis.
It's the antithesis. It's the, you know, that scene in No Country for Old Men when he goes and visits his dad and he's like just in a trash strewn heap with like flies all over the place because nobody, like, he's like, once you're no longer useful in America, you just get kind of thrown to the curb. Like, you're, yeah. Like, it's just all about usefulness to capitalism. And then once you're old, like, we try not to think about you because it's...
You're bumming us out with you're like, bumming how us old out. You are.
Yeah, and
that's
it's...
That's really sad.
Because it goes back to, wait, because the thing is, rather than embracing the wisdom that comes with age, right? The U.S. culture is about the pursuit of escaping mortality, to escape aging, to escape these things, to forever be in this mindset of, like, just, man, just fucking kid, man, just a youth. Yeah. Like, you know, there was like this, there's a book called like The Death of the Grown-Up that sort of like maps this like huge sort of cultural swing away from like being an adult, coming from like boomers and stuff, because rock stars became big and everyone's like, oh, I want to be a fucking rock star. And then like these parents who are like, I'm more of a friend than a parent. Like, it all kind of had this wave, right, of like changing our viewpoints on what an adult even is, and especially in U.S. society. And yeah, we're looking at it now. And again, the idea of being safe, that someone could die, mortality, fuck that. And also our youth culture is all based on like so much social media shit about being out, doing shit, not being at home, not helping people. Your drip is so intense that the fucking you got to call a plumber. You know, like it's emphasized all the things that when you go into this, you're like, of course, that's the direction it went in, because that's just like the residual momentum we were going in, especially for our consumer culture. But yeah, for kids especially.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break now that we've figured out why. Figured out
that we solved it.
Yeah. Also, the Texas story, what we talked about on trending yesterday, but that is another wild system-wide failure of American you know, government and society that is happening in slow motion. Like, they apparently knew this weather, this like freezing snap was coming, and just nobody prepared anybody. It was just like, yeah, all right, well, that's going to suck.
Oh, what, a couple snowflakes?
Yep. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about some bullshit.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season 1, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And And we're back, and the Gorilla Glue Challenge is happening, y'all. Gorilla Glue is the one, like, the one product. If you could, if you asked me to pick the one product that is not electrified, can't, like, electrocute you to death, that I would not want there to be a challenge for, Gorilla Glue would be number one.
Is that on the heels of the Tessica case?
Just because it's such a, it's like such a powerful thing. Like the first time you use Gorilla Glue, you're like, oh my God, this thing, like you really, it's irrevocable. Once you use Gorilla Glue, that shit is stuck, man.
I've never used it.
That's a good word for it. Like you can't take it back. It's it's like a moment you can never come back from.
You can never un-Gorilla Glue something.
My dad used it growing up and it was always like, It's scary. It kind of feels like you have a weapon in the house.
Yeah. See, now I'm like, it's like activated the mischievous side of my brain. I'm like, really? Huh. Fucking, it's like a weapon? I mean, obviously, like hearing the stories was enough, but it's clearly become like the new Tide Pod of this year.
Yes.
Of, like, thing bad. That you shouldn't be fucking with outside of its intended use, but somehow everybody want to fuck with Gorilla Glue now.
Yeah, and it's several levels past like a fun, like, you know, crazy thing.
Yeah, it's just, it's because all it is like guaranteed injury. Everything we've seen is never like, whoa, close call with Gorilla Glue. This person almost blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, this person glued themselves to a train and then they died. You know, like it's like, Oh, God.
No.
So this guy, I think down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, named Lanise Martin III. He is a, I think, aspiring rapper. He put on his Instagram page, and we'll do the Gorilla Glue Challenge. And I'm just going to play it because this guy, he's convinced. People are, y'all are fucking too much frantic energy around this Gorilla Glue stuff. It's just glue, y'all. And so he put this challenge out. He wanted to create his own challenge, and let's take a little listen.
Here I am. That's your name, true. I'm gonna show y'all something. I got some Gorilla Glue right here. Super glue, real. Watch out. I'm gonna take it, put it on this cup, put it in my mouth. Then I'm gonna be licking and get it off.
So right now he's saying, I have a red Solo cup. I got a fucking new bottle of Gorilla Glue. And I'm gonna show y'all. I'm gonna put it, a little bit of Gorilla Glue inside of this red Solo cup. I'm just licking right off because it's glue, y'all.
Easy. Gorilla Glue, garbage.
He says it's garbage. Telling he's telling you. So he's going to put.
Watch out.
So anyway, he puts the fucking glue on the cup. And then the next slide is in his Instagram post is him at the fucking hospital with a Solo cup
glued to his mouth,
to his lip. And he was like, hey, I thought I could lick it off to moisten it and pull it right off, but that didn't work.
How old is that man?
He's too damn old. I'm guessing he's my age, probably at least. They said it was removed with a medical technique he described as, quote, painful peeling. So,
was one of the things from the Tesca. Like, for people who haven't been listening as we give beat-by-beat updates of the Tesca Brown case, she got confused, I think, more justifiably than a lot of people are giving her credit for, because there are products called, like, can't believe snot. It's not glue, hair product, and gorilla snot. And so she thought Gorilla Glue was usable in her hair, and it was just a solid mass until she was able to go to a plastic surgeon and get it softened via, like, some medical grade adhesive remover. So one of the things that I learned from that is that Gorilla Glue is actually water activated. It gets harder when it comes in contact with water.
I hope you guys are listening, you freaks.
Oh my
so
God.
The licking so thing on your was mouth. Making it.
He said, he goes on to say, if all of his painful peeling procedures don't go right, he might have to have the tip of his lip surgically, like, removed.
Blair has opted out of this conversation.
Blair is what, if you've ever been at a football game and seen somebody knocked out and their arms are locked up, what we call fencer's pose, you have a fencer's pose reacting to that.
I, again, am so sensitive. When I think of other people in pain, it like I can't handle it. And to think I know what Gorilla Glue is like, and I just feel so bad for these people. I don't want them to do it anymore. Especially when the girl, I didn't follow the case. I kept seeing Gorilla Glue headlines, so I didn't really know what happened till just now. Her not doing it on purpose makes it so much sadder to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And
also, doctors are like modern day, like miracle people, like having to deal with someone who put Gorilla Glue on their mouth.
Because there's no specialist. It's like, okay, you go renal issues with your kidney. I know. Well, let's take you to that person. You got something wrong with your ear. So hold on, Gorilla Glue on your lip or your hair.
Yeah. And doctors can also just be like, no, thanks. They're like right in front of you. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. Like, emergency rooms
should have a judge at the entrance. It's just like, nah, he's got to live with that cup on his mouth for the next 3 weeks.
No. Hold on. I'm sorry. What'd you say, sir? You put Gorilla Glue on a solo cup for a Instagram challenge.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so the exit is right there. Yeah, you can take your ass home with that dumb shit, because we have people who are actually injured, not for the gram.
I do wonder how what percentage. We should have a ER doctor on to tell us what percentage of injuries are for the gram. I bet there's a good handful of them. This one also hurts because I've had that, like, with a lip stuck to something really cold, you know, and then
Dumb and Dumber.
Very Dumb and Dumber. And you like peel it off and there's just like a raw patch underneath it for a while. That's very uncomfortable. And this is like that times 100.
I mean, the fact that, surgery for the tip of your lip. I mean, like, that's where it's like, you feel bad because some people are so stupid that now they're in this situation. I'm not gonna be like, oh, well, he didn't deserve that because he engaged in the act directly. But it's like, damn, y'all, come the fuck on.
I need to come clean about something right now.
Uh-oh. You're stuck to your chair?
You are glued to your chair right now, aren't you?
Okay, look. When I was about probably 9 years old, and look, I was the youngest in my family, only girl, and I just would do anything to share air with my older brothers. Like,
right.
I just wanted to let me be around them. So this is about the time when they would go up to a metal sign on the street and kick the bottom and pretend to smash their face on it.
Mm-hmm. Right, to get the sound going?
Yeah.
Yep.
And I wanted them to like me, and I went up and fucking headbutted the shit out of the sign and knocked myself out and got a concussion. Okay, so I want to shit on these TikTok motherfuckers, but I really can't. I don't have a place, and so I'm just going to sit this one out.
Well, look, but that's how you learned to march by the beat of your own drum.
Yeah, and that's for sure. I don't know how I still managed to be stay wildly intelligent, but I mean, look, we all have a past is what I want to say, and forgive everyone. Love to you all.
Best physics lesson I ever got was when I was 6 riding my bike, and I just stuck a like pretty hefty like stick in the front spokes of my bike, and it just flipped over like, and I just ate complete shit, and it was just, I don't know what I was thinking. Like, I knew something would happen, but I didn't realize, like, oh, wow, like, there is a counterintuitive amount of force that, like, you can just get totally fucked by.
That was like when I tried to eat dog food out of my dog bowl, my dog's food bowl,
exactly.
When they were eating.
Wet or dry?
They dry food.
Yeah, I've done it.
Bit the side of my fucking ear off, basically. And I was like, what the fuck happened? And my dad was like, the fuck did you... That's an animal eating.
Oh,
and you just stuck your head in the bowl.
You got like, Mike Tysoned by your dog?
Yes.
And you have to go to the hospital?
Nah, it wasn't like that bad. It wasn't like anything that needed stitches. It was just like enough that like it. My father's laughter made my cries more intense. You know what I mean? Because like you're hurt.
I know.
Yeah, and they're like, "What the fuck are you doing?" I'm like, It's like, but you thought you could eat out of a and I'm like,
I wanted you to like me.
as much as you love the dog.
I remember I headbutted the door at Blockbuster and shattered the glass, and then you got all mad at me.
There's something about the U.S. and like the response to COVID, not to like try and tie everything together, but like the like, well, it can't be that bad. Like just lack of imagination of like, right. What, like, well, it can't be that bad. And then it gets really, really bad and people are dying. And then we're like, well, but you can't like imagine other people. I don't know. It's
because it really is like fuck around, find out. It really thematically fits the United States, except we don't find out.
Right, right.
We just keep fucking around.
And then hiding like the confused. Consequences from everyone.
Yeah. While some people, like the fucking wealthy people can fuck around and then everyone beneath them finds out.
Exactly.
You know, and then that's, and then, but the people who do the fucking around never find out. Oh, this is brilliant, y'all. I'm going to put this on. We need to put this on the, in DC on a monument somewhere.
Yeah. They stick a spoke in the front wheel of their bike and somebody else's bike flips over. Like,
right.
Or like it's like, that was sick.
Or it's like they're like in the seat, they hit the spokes, but they're launched off the bike onto another bike seamlessly. And they're like, oh, that was pretty cool. While everybody who's in the baby seat in the back just like fucking head smashed into the concrete.
Oh, man. What a visual. Will Blair.
Just seamless. Like, whoop. Oh, okay. Hey. That was nice. Corn dog, anyone? Oh, where'd the kids go? I guess Blair, more for me then.
It's been such a pleasure having you as always. Thanks, where can people find you and follow you?
I love corn dogs so much. Okay. God, it was great to be back. And happy Valentine's Day on Sunday, also, everyone. Mm-hmm. You can find me at Blair Socci, BlairSocci on Twitter and Instagram. And I have a breathwork class I'm teaching because I got certified because I'm a mysterious ass bitch. And so
you got your MAB.
Yeah. And so if you guys want to come to that, you can purchase tickets in my Instagram bio, and it's on March 8th. And I think it's going to be a really bodacious time that'll be good for everyone's
souls.
What's
breath work exactly?
Breath
work. Forgive my ignorance.
No problem. A lot of times I have to take the role of asking layman's questions about politics. That's my role on this podcast. because I know that a lot of other listeners have the same questions and I'm not afraid to ask them. I don't sing in front of people.
You just did. Gotcha.
Got her. Breathwork is a two-part active breathing technique. And what's cool about it is like it's a very physical experience, and instead of like trying to meditate in like a quiet room and like silence your thoughts because you're focusing so much on this very physical thing, it bypasses your mind and you go straight into the stratosphere.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
I love the stratosphere.
Terms and conditions do apply.
Yeah, but it's going to be cool.
Is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yeah, I thought of my friend Robbie Slowick's tweet. He's so funny. He's a comedian friend of mine in New York. And his tweet was, comics will be like, we're truth tellers, roving philosophers who speak truth to power. And also be like, catch me this weekend at the Loony Bin or next weekend at Off the Hook Comedy Club. It made me laugh really hard.
Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter, Instagram, at Miles of Gray. Also other podcasts, 420 Day Fiance. If you watch 90 Day Fiance or Married at First Sight, that's what we get down over there with that talk. A tweet that I like, just a nice and easy one from Reductress, at Reductress. Just this lady in a nice like knit scarf looking out of a nice winter window saying, I might be perfect on the outside, but on the inside, my socks are sliding down. which it's just so funny because I had to throw socks away earlier this morning because I was like, God, we've reached, it's the end, baby. These things are now just like weird foot gloves that don't stay on.
There is nothing I throw away more reluctantly than socks and underwear. I will ride that.
Is there something you can? Is there an article of clothing you will discard immediately? No problems. No questions asked.
Actually, no.
Oh, okay. It's all the same pace.
All clothes I pretty much hang on to.
I was just going to say, Miles, like, I'm impressed by that discipline. I'm this exact same way. It makes me feel like extremely adult for some reason when I make the conscious choice to toss out a bad pair. But I feel like it's easy because you just kind of forget and you accept them as something that is just living with you.
Mm, right. Interesting. And how many toxic relationships have you been in?
A lot.
Okay, but just curious. I don't know. Might be a microcosm. Don't know if you're doing the same thing over and over. You're saying this item is useless. It's actually an inconvenience to me, but I will compartmentalize, quite literally, put it in another part of the drawer until it emerges again, just for me to reenact the same cycle of behavior out and not advocating for myself. I don't know. That's been my time at Miles of Gray, Twitter and Instagram. Thank you.
Look, honey, many people have brought it to my attention, but I'm happy to say I'm tossing them out left and right.
There you go. Toss out those relationships like loose ass socks. You're not gonna lose out on them. You're really not. I'm telling you, if that makes it easier for someone listening right now, a bad relationship is as good as useless, that you don't need them. And it might feel weird to throw it away because you're like, oh, it's a sock or a relationship. Trust me, you can get these things like 50 for 2 cents anyway.
You need space in your drawer for the new ones.
Hey.
Oh my God. I feel so exposed. Holy shit.
Fuck it with you, you know?
So much of my drawer space is socks that I haven't worn in 11 years. It's dumb. It's bad.
Or you do that. You ever do that thing? You put the sock on and you know it's a wrap because the elastic just goes. It's like,
sorry.
And you're still like, no.
Around.
Yeah. It's a bunch of dust blows out from your ankle. You're like, oh, I'm not still not going to throw them away.
Yep. Those will come in handy later, I'm sure. Tweet I've been enjoying is, I thought this was just going to be the brand Gorilla Glue, like getting in on the fun of the Gorilla Glue shit. It is at Gorilla Glue. That is the Twitter handle. And it says, our quote glue is made by jacking off a Western lowland gorilla named Esteban. And it has their logo. It says Gorilla Glue. It's amazing that they got that and are able to keep
that's
with
so
it.
Funny.
Ugh, so stupid.
And Stephen Douglas tweeted, if the Cruella trailer doesn't feature a children's choir singing a haunting, slowed down cover version of a certain Baha Men song, what are we even doing here? You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that Miles will recommend to you right now.
Because I'm loaded. Don't know where to point this thing. Okay, for all my Sade fans out there, War of the Hearts. Oh, man, it's a great track. But that's what happens when people start remixing. Just that line. I'm loaded. This is called Sade Loaded. And you can't get this track on Spotify. You're going to have to go to SoundCloud and go to E-Turnity's page. Because this track, if you like Sade plus with a little bit of turn up, you're going to want to turn this one up. So take this one and start your week with it. Or, I mean, not it started, but, you know, get through the hump.
Get through the hump. Yes, Sade. I love Sade. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, the Daily Zeitgeist is production. Just thinking about Sade. It is my wedding song is Sade.
Oh, really?
I was just taken away.
That's sweet.
Which one? By Your Side?
By Your Side, yeah.
You think I leave your side, baby? Oh, I mean, I wouldn't lie if I said Her Majesty and I are like, yo, that's our track.
Uh-oh.
But the Neptunes remix.
I love that you call your girlfriend Her Majesty. That's incredible.
I mean, the one and only. You know what I mean? On high.
Good for you.
Well, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for this morning. We are back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.